So I guess we're doing the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast as unprofessionally as humanly possible on a cell phone and a moving vehicle.
But we're in the middle of Pensacola Bay. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, it's we're definitely in Pensacola, and there's water, and we're on a bridge, and there's really big, like, construction going on. There looks like they've got, like, these... They're lowering these things into place. Like, they're dragging them out here and just, like, dropping them, which is cool, but... Yeah, so... And this must also not be very deep, based on what I'm seeing, but... Yeah, we're in Pensacola, Florida, and we're on a road trip because we're fools.
Yeah, so it's Hyde here, joining in as we decided to do something we've been talking about for, I think, a while, but kept putting off. Like, we should go to Oahu. And then Waterville announced they were closing their coaster, and that's kind of the catalyst. And as we were finding out, as we're going to a lot of these FECs, pretty much every FEC we're going to, we're hearing, oh, you're here for the coasters? Yeah, everyone's been coming around because that Waterville coaster's closing. So we're not the only ones thinking Gulf Shores credit run trips right now. So, but Alan, let's start last night. You flew. I drove 5 hours. You flew.
Yeah, so I left, got out of work, got on the Michigan Flyer, and got me right to Detroit Airport, got right through security, had to connect to Atlanta. Which, by the way, like, Terminal E, the food, like, all shut down at 9 o'clock, which was ridiculous. Like, you're the busiest airport in the world. Like, how about you feed me?
And they turn off, they shut down, like, TSA pre-check at, like, 8 or 9 o'clock, too. It's really weird. I mean, usually not a line there, but still, it's just really weird.
But so I get into Panama City on time, and Hyde picks me up. We go over to the Red Roof, which is, like, 30 minutes from the airport. The airport is in the middle of nowhere.
Like, literally... I thought I was going to the wrong airport because it's like two-lane road. I'm the only car on the road because it's like 10:30 at night. And then, bam, an airport. Like, it literally is more remote than, like, Holiday World or stuff like that. Like, it's in the middle of nowhere.
I almost texted Hyde. I was like, I will see you coming from, like, roughly 2 miles away. Because you can see cars forever in the horizon. And, then I was like, if Hyde doesn't show up, like, if this was actually this, like, a huge ruse to mess with me, like, how am I going to get anywhere? And there are Ubers available across the street, which seems really weird because, like, you're in the middle of nowhere, so you have to walk through the parking lot, cross that two-lane road that you come in on, and then there's, like, Ubers just sitting there, and then you can call one of those and then, like, just walk to it.
Yeah, and so Red Roof Inn, probably one of the nicest Red Roofs. Like, the bed was super comfortable. It was clean. Like, I was a little hesitant when you said Red Roof Inn at the start. I was like, eh. But, man, that was a solid victory right there.
Yeah, 4.5 circle of Red Roof in Panama City. And I got with the Big Ten discount. Shout out, Big Ten.
What's up? Ooh,
yeah, yeah.
Go Blue.
Yeah, go Blue. We just won again. We just creamed Western. But anyways, yeah, so we stayed overnight. Before we went to bed, though, I was like, we got to at least drive the strip. Like, we got to see it.
So we drove the strip, and you know, this is the first weekend of September, so it's kind of like Labor Day. The big push is over, but we were driving the strip at like Friday night, and the only activity was like the beach bars that were just like looked like it was just crawling with college kids, and we're like, but we did drive past RIP, a former park that the gas station attendant told us she broke into.
Yeah, the Miracle Strip. We saw what little was left of it in the dark. There's not much. I mean, all the buildings have been leveled. All the rides are long gone. And, you know, it's fenced off. And it's kind of like at the end of Panama City.
Yeah, you can definitely kind of see why it probably... Panama City's super spread out. So it's not like a Daytona Beach or Clearwater if you've been to one of those beaches. Or even like Gulf Shores where everything seems to be in a general area. Panama City seems like... probably spread out for like 8-9 miles. And it was at the far end of the one strip. So even like those bars in that area... no one was at. Like, it needed to be a couple more miles down, but of course that was probably really pricey, but yeah, I mean, you can probably see why I didn't make it. For those who don't know, a little background on that park, what the coaster, there was wooden coaster there for a while, and then they moved it to Cypress Gardens, and then when Legoland or Merlin bought Cypress Gardens, they got rid of the coaster, and then for a while, the park in Panama City was like closed, and then reopened, and then they actually announced they were going to build a I think like pretty much a copy of White Lightning the GCI coaster at the park, but that never happened, right?
Like, yeah, it just never occurred.
Like, they didn't even, like, break ground. I think the park closed before they broke ground.
Like, the company that owned it was the same parent that owned the Daytona Boardwalk.
Oh.
Yeah, so that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
And, but anyways, we drove around. We saw all the dark amusement stuff. And because it's so spread out, I think we were out for over an hour. Like, we were out forever. Which is probably really stupid, but whatever.
Well, and that's the thing, like, the Panama City Airport, it took us like a half hour to get from the airport to the hotel in town, and then a half hour from the hotel to the beach. Like, the airport from the beach is further than, like, the Orlando airport is to Disney. Like, it's really weird.
It's out in the middle of nowhere. There's just two-lane runs. There's no freeways running necessarily towards the beach. It's a very strange place. Very, very strange.
Yeah.
Like, I would compare it, like, it's kind of like when you go to Atlantic City or Ocean City, New Jersey, or Maryland, like, you know, there's kind of this area that's set a little bit away from where the beaches are at, but, like, it goes on forever. It just goes on for, it's the least dense thing I've ever seen. It's just weird. And then we added to the weirdness today with all the stuff that we've done thus far.
Yeah, it's been an interesting day. I'd say, like, thumbs up. It's been a good day. And of course, a credit trip like this, you miss out on a credit. But we decided to spend the extra 10 or 15 minutes instead of taking I-10 through boring middle of nowhere Florida. We drove the same road we're on right now, but 98, kind of the coastal highway. And we went through, like, Destin, Fort Walton, Pensacola, which was kind of neat. Seeing all these, it was interesting because we kept coming up on different FECs, and we're like, is there a coaster there? Like, we know that, like, it's not an RCDB, but these SBF visas spring up everywhere. So, like, we passed, what, like, 3 or 4 FECs?
Yeah, there's the track in Destin, which actually looks really rad. And there's a bunch of stuff, obviously, in Panama City and tons of mini golf. And, you know, we kept going past Walton. Fort Walton had some stuff. And there was nothing that really, like, none of it looks terrible. We would have liked a coaster, for sure. And then finally we got one when we get, you know, out to Alabama, basically.
Well, kind of. Not quite. So we drove through Gulf Shore, Alabama. We went up to the track, which is just like the one in, Destin or whatever. It's like a series. They have, like, 5 or 6 FECs.
Yeah, they've got that. They have locations in Branson, which I was actually at earlier this year. With Joe. Joe and I did multi-level go-karts at the track in Branson.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the same.
Yeah, same company. And I think they have Pigeon Forge. They have one or two locations there. They used to have, like, a dragon wagon, actually, in Pigeon Forge.
I mean, Pigeon Forge, fun fact, used to have a wooden roller coaster back in the day.
For 1 year.
Yeah, it built by the same company that did the Dania Beach Hurricane. And the trains now are on the coaster up at Beach Bend. Or, yeah, right? No, not Beach Bend, the coaster in Wisconsin.
Now, here's the real question, though. What was the original name of that coaster?
It was like it wasn't like a wooden coaster themed in NASCAR or something?
I want to say it was Intimidator.
Yeah.
It was a Dale Earnhardt themed roller coaster.
Yeah, a wooden roller coaster.
But then they lost the license even before it opened, and then it became Thunder Eagle. It lasted 1 year. They moved the track and the lift and the motors and the train to Mount St. Xavier in Montreal, or north of Montreal. Never reopened. And now the lift, the chain, and I think the trains are what are on the Bay Beach Sippin' Pippin'.
Yep. And
so anyways, now that we flexed our knowledge.
Yeah, now that we bragged. That was our, if you haven't, you know, if you need to know how our credibility. But our credibility ran out fast as we showed up at the track.
And there was no spinning coaster.
Yeah, and we've heard, I've had a few friends go, and some people have had luck in the last month or two, some haven't. Nice little complex, but yeah. But let's talk about, we got a little excited at first, as excited as you can get about an SBF visa, because we walked over and what was going on with the ride?
So I'll straight up say, like, it was open, like, the gates were open, the lights were on, the key was in the ride, and it was switched on, and it was ready to start. And the e-stop was pulled up. So literally anybody today, and probably tonight at any hour that you want to go into that park, because I'm sure that those keys have been in there for days or weeks, possibly months, you can just go in and try to start it. I seriously considered it because I figured the worst that could happen is like $250 fine.
And so then we were like, okay, cool, it's going to run. So we walked inside. They're like, no, it's closed. And we went back. We're like, that's weird. And sure enough, you could tell, like, the operator chair was covered in water and probably hasn't been moved in, like, weeks. But, yeah, that was a little stranger. So then we went a few miles up the road, turned off the main road, went down a two-lane road through cornfields, and then, bam, out of nowhere, in the middle of cornfields, like, Indiana Beach or Holiday World style, you got Owa. And that's a thing.
Owa is... I'm like speechless talking about Owa. Like, the way I would put it is it's not bad. It's not good. Like, it tries.
Yeah, like,
in some places.
That's what I was going to say. Like, A plus. Nah, maybe not A plus. Like, A minus for effort, like, I would
B
say.
Plus.
Yeah,
solid, like, B, like 85 on the test.
Like, I, you know, it looks nice, like the Owa Park area where there's the restaurants and all that fun jazz. It looks nice, like, right, like it like brick and looks like super nice. And then like the one groovy goat bar had like nice big outdoor area going, and like the park itself looked really nice. The only problem is all the trees are really small because they're like only a year old, so there's like zero shade. Park looked nice, but man, like, you need some shade because it was hot today. But shade aside, how about we talk about, we walked straight in, went to the big attraction, Thunderbolt, and we rode it.
It's Rolling Thunder.
Rolling Thunder, yeah, same thing. Yeah. I think I've been calling it Thunderbolt all day. We ran into some people we knew, and I was like, yeah, Thunderbolt at Owa. He's like, now I see why you like gave me a weird face. But
you just lost your credibility with that guy.
I know. He needs to listen to this and listen to my Bay Beach nerd talk. But we got off. I was like, that is awful. And what did you say?
So my
I'm going to make you eat your words here.
Yeah, no, it's cool because I did physically. So we rode backseat first ride, and Andrew was center. I was on the far left. There's three seats in the row, which is weird. My thing about it is I assume that what Zamperla was trying to do was build rides for single moms and their two kids, and or like the mistress, because they're Italians, and I assume they probably cheat on their wives. Sorry, Italians. But no, seriously, like it's weird to have like a train that has three rows of three seats. So it seats nine people. Why? I have no idea.
I mean, it's no different than a test track at Epcot.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're shooting for. But I was on the far left, and I was like, that wasn't terrible. Like, it wasn't good. Like, it shook enough and made enough jangly noises. Like, when we came back, the seatbelt, like, latch had kind of, like, come up. Like, it hadn't released, luckily. Not that anything would have happened other than me die, maybe. But, Andrew did not have as good a ride. And
no,
I'm going to try it again.
The restraints are really weird. I think you said it best in the video we were filming. But, like the lap bar portion is like a B&M Hyper where it kind of hugs your, like, upper thighs and lower stomach. And then there's still this over-the-shoulder restraint that's just god-awful. And then the problem with the ride, I feel like, it shuffles a lot. And there's a couple trim breaks. And I feel like the front part of the car and the back part of the car are, like, obviously they're connected, but they kind of like springboard, so it's like the trim hits and it's like the back catches up to the front and like it jolts forward every time you go through one of those trims. So then we went and we did our dirty credit whoring of the kiddie coaster.
Yes.
Which
the guy had like a whole spiel where he's like, you're off to small town USA. Like, okay, not with that, like, accent, but, like, you know, a southern Alabamian accent.
The one thing that I got to throw out here, because I don't think I talked about in the video, is there was five operators on the platform for Rolling Thunder. Like, and I don't think they were training, but I was just like, you know, all these parks around the country are having staffing problems. They can't get anyone to staff the rides or closing rides. And here they got five people on the platform for Rolling Thunder. I don't know.
We're talking red-blooded Americans here, folks. We're not talking about people on
J1B. Yeah, yeah. These are all, you know, high school girls from down the street. But, man, I mean, the park was staffed. Everyone was pretty friendly. But we rode the Wild Mouse. That was a thing.
the Wild Mouse, it's the short, it's the Zamperla short version of the spinning mouse that they sell. And, you know, we tried to minimize the spinning. Because Andrew apparently doesn't do spinning.
I don't like spinning. Yeah.
Which, you know, I respect that to some degree, though I was kind of hoping we'd be doing some propeller rides today. Some skyscraper type stuff, but maybe not. No skyscrapers.
What? Like what?
Like the Katanga-ish type items?
Oh, I don't know.
Don't know?
We'll see. We'll see.
Okay. So, anyways.
I needed more drinks at Fort Obama, but we'll get to that in a second.
So anyways. Where was I going with that? Something. Oh, the spinning mouse. So, the thing is, like, because we took the center seats, like, you end up just kind of absorbing all the turns. So, like, even the guy that, like, let us off the ride was like, wow, good work on breaking your backs on that ride. And we're like, thanks. Yeah. Oh, great point that was made also by Andrew when we got on it. So the system there for loose articles on the spinning mouse at OWA is you put your stuff in a milk crate. And then, like, when your car gets back to the station, the operator just drags the milk crate from the part where you get on to the part where you get off so you can get your stuff. And he's like, wow, that's better than what they do at Steel Vengeance.
It is true.
So there you go. OWA has something to offer to everybody in terms of things to change the industry.
And then we got out of there pretty quick. And
I want to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. You got to eat your words. So he's like, I'm going to do a second ride. I was like, no, that's a one and done for me on Rolling Thunder. So he went and rode it again. And he came off, and the first thing he said, start rolling that tape. I got stuff to say about this. We should have whipped out the microphone there and recorded that. But yeah, so... So if you need to hear his immediate reaction, it'll be in the loop video that will be posted at some point down the road. I don't know when. But anyways, maybe recount that for the people.
Yeah, I was just laughing like when I got off because it was so bad. Like, I've never been on a coaster of that, like, age... That was that awful. There's something I think about sitting in the middle seats. Like, I don't know what it is, but it just seems to be... Because he had an awful ride in a middle seat, and then my ride was awful in a middle seat. But the ride is engineered awfully. Like, everything about it is janky. Everything about it is bad. Like, you drop off the lift hill, and immediately hits trim brakes. So, like, the back, it's, like, thrown forwards. And, like, if you're in the front, you're like, why am I slowing down, like, immediately? Like... That's like a cool and fresh thing, and cool and fresh is the dumbest ride ever built. So like, why would you end up in that position of doing the cool and fresh thing? Then you hit the first loop. You come out of the first loop into a huge pothole. It's a steel coaster. You should never have a pothole on a steel coaster. That's why it's made of steel. Then you go through a bunch of bad inversions. The thing rattles like you're in a shopping cart that's been pushed down a hill or like off a cliff. Like it's just metal sounds everywhere. You get to the first airtime hill after, like, that dive loop thing that it does. And that airtime hill, when you get over the top of the hill, they put trim brakes on it. So there's trim brakes on the down part of an airtime hill, like an ejector airtime hill. So if you're in the front, what happens is you go up in your seat, and then you hit the trim brakes, and it launches you forward. So your stomach hits the lap bar, and, like my chest, like, the breastbone, like your chest plate, like goes and hits the restraint.
Yeah, because it's like it hits the
like all the soft stuff is like where the lap bar is at. This ridiculous B&M thing.
Because you hit the airtime, and while you're in the air is when the trim hits, and you're like, oh,
it's everything about it is bad. Like that is a stupid ride, and Zamperla should be ashamed of having, like, produced that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't see anything good about it after that ride. Like, first ride, I was like, I don't know why people think this is so bad. And then, like, the second ride, I was like, this is the dumbest, worst thing. Like, I would never ride this again. Ever. Ever. That ride, like, everything about, like,
That's why I didn't ride it again.
Yeah, like, I went on forever about it in the rant, and I could do it again. Like, the lap bars, like, the way that they're positioned, like... They're not, like, solidly positioned. Like, they kind of shift. Like, I don't even know how to, like, describe it. Like, then there's a center belt, which you can't quite reach because your arms can't reach around the restraint.
Yeah, we were not able to... I've never been on a coaster before where I, like, had a really hard time figuring out how to buckle my seat because it was so far in front.
Also, my front seat, like, the over-the-shoulder belt things, like, were tighter than in the back seat. So it kept like smashing in my glasses when I picked this, the restraint either up or down. And also, the seats are like 5 feet above the track. They're like super elevated, but they have a floor because there's like, it's like, it steps up. Like, it's like stadium seating. And everything is bad. The whole, everything is bad about it. It's all bad. It's, and it's in the center of the park. Like, the park's layout is like a kid's land to the right side of this coaster. And, like, your adult rides are on the left side. And it's just, it's so prominent and so centered that you can't get rid of it. There's also a dead go-kart track right there.
Oh.
I just noticed that, and it's really dead. Like, it's been dead, like, 20 years.
See, like, that's what we're talking about. We're driving along that road, and if there's, oh, there's a zoo. Like, there's FECs everywhere, but not for the long time.
Yeah, in various states of decay. But, yeah, horrible ride. Horrible.
And so I would say OWA overall, like, let's be honest. It's backed by Native American casino money.
It wouldn't exist without it.
It wouldn't exist without it. Because you walk through the little town center area they have, and it'll be interesting to see because, like, most of those places, I think, open last, like, September. Like, how long does, like, Wahlburger last? Like, it wasn't busy today. Like,
well, like Crazy Donuts. Like, yeah. Some of it had the feel of, like, stuff they created.
Yeah. Well, Crazy Donuts, I think, is there's a couple of them in Gulf Shores. So okay. It's, like, a small chain. But, like, who's, like, there's not enough people going through. So I'm sure they're not paying much for rent. But if, like, the storefront right in front of the park where everyone has to walk by is not leased, like, to me, that's saying that there's not enough people walking by. Like, any company that looks like it, look at it and probably turns it down. I mean, let's make a prediction right now. 5 years from now, what is OWA like? Because they have the hotel and, like, the sports field off in the distance, I guess.
Yeah, and they want to build a water park and all the rest.
Yeah,
honestly, I can't see it being open in 10 years.
The only way I see it open right now, I mean, there was some people, and it wasn't
crowded. Like 500 people.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that's generous.
300.
But, and we saw quite a few coaster nerds there. But it is like it's like the Hard Rock Park problem where it's like a half hour from the main drag, maybe like 25 minutes from like the beach. So like parks like the track and Waterville, like if you're going to, if you got a beach house in Gulf Shores for a week, Waterville's 5 or 10 minutes from your place. Oh, was 25 minutes. I think you go to Waterville. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think
they need a water park.
They need a water park for sure. It's hot. I think water parks are cheap and easy to build. It's what we paid $40 a person to get in.
Yeah, I mean it's
ouch.
A rip off.
Ouch. And I think they would be best spent if they switch it to paper ride.
I agree, 100%. Absolutely. I think paper ride is the way for them to go. Card systems or something.
Get card systems, and then even still, like do like. You know, for every entice people to buy more tickets by saying like for every 20 tickets you buy, I don't know how you price it out, but for like every so many allotment of tickets, you get like a $5 credit, a voucher to use at one of the restaurants. Just, we had no desire to stop and eat there. We weren't that hungry. But if you told me like, hey, for $25, you get to go in and ride 3 or 4 rides and get a $5 voucher for Wahlburgers or Groovy Goat or whatever, we probably would have ended up having lunch there. You
yeah,
know? Like,
absolutely.
So I think that's how you create like a nice partnership there. But yeah, I mean, it was a thing. I think in 5 years it'll be a very different thing. I think they really have to get the sports tournament thing going, and then even still,
I don't think sports tournaments alone are going to fix it because
no.
they're in such a rural. I mean, I guess you can get stuff from Mobile, but like how many?
Yeah, and Pensacola is really? 45 minutes away.
I just think like you got to go water park, and I can't picture any big rides going into that dry park.
No.
Years.
Because I think whereas like there'd be some like cases where you could be like, oh, well, maybe they'll buy this used. I think the park is pretty polished that if you bought anything that didn't look brand spanking new, it would stick out like a sore thumb. So like where you're like, well, you know, that park is selling their, you know, kiddie coaster, or, you know, they can pick up this that's used from somewhere real cheap. I think it would just stick out. And I think the park really tries to be a very well-presented park, so.
Yeah, it's all brand new Zamperla stuff. I mean, you can't throw something in there that's like a 40-year-old wisdom ride and be like, you know, oh, we want to do this. Like, here's a Huss something, or like an old Huss Frisbee with, you know, a carnival backdrop on it. Like, that's just not going to work at that park.
Yeah, so that was Oa. We left. There was a billboard on the way out, or like down the road, that said, Oa, where you can say yes to everything.
Yeah, it's nice to know that consent is just assumed.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, not sure what we'd say yes to at Oa, but spending $40, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you okay, sir, with us charging $40 on your credit card?
I guess.
Sure, like, yeah. Whatever. So then we went the main reason of the trip.
The catalyst.
It's weird, and it was kind of like anticlimactic riding the main reason of the trip, like in the middle of the day. But we went to Waterville, USA, where that is primarily a water park facility. That the water park, questionable decision. I mean, they probably have more reason, but it was 90 degrees today, and the water park was closed. They probably could have done some business there, but we walk in and there's like 10 employees and then just us. And we see the coaster through glass doors.
Yes. And we rode it. It's the strangest station. You know what it reminds me of? Desperado.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but like you pointed out, so you like it's like literally the like on the side of the arcade there's just doors that open up to the ride. But you just like get on the coaster there. On the other side of the platform there's actually like I don't think cube gates, but there's like, you know, like rows of
signs. There's air gates. There's definitely air gates.
Okay. And then above the station, there was a queue house. So, and then there's like a walkway, like a raised platform that goes down to
the station.
To like the water park. So like there was a day, but maybe back in the day where there's like a half hour line, like clearly the enter through the gift shop is, well, no one ever rides this anymore. Let's just open it from the gift shop here, not make people walk through.
Yeah, and that's what we did. And you get two rides for your money. So, like, what we paid...
$7 a person, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's totally reasonable for two rides on a wood coaster. Like, yeah, so we got on it. We got front seat, and we got the front seat of the last car because we were not doing axles on that. And it's not bad. But, you know, it's also... Again, it's kind of like where we were saying, like, oh, it's, like, not bad, but it's not good. Like, I would actually venture to say, like, I enjoyed going on the Cannonball Run.
Yeah, and it's one of those rides, like, it's similar, like, it's kind of the same, you know, out and back, kind of like a Blue Streak or the one at Lake Winnipesaukee. But you just don't get as much airtime, and I feel like the hills might have been designed. It was one of the first CCIs, right?
Yeah, it's from 95.
And, I feel like all the hills might have been designed a little bit too big. Like, there was one where you got a nice throw out of your seat. But all the other ones, like, the train was just going too slow. It probably didn't help. It was just us. But
it's just us. And it was, like, shuffling pretty bad, too.
Yeah. So it was losing a lot of friction, probably ruined a lot of it. But then the lift hill and, like, the final two or three hills, you drive underneath to, like, the actual, like, bigger parking for the water park. So normally where like on like Blue Streak, I see your point, the last few hills are just like little bunny hops 10, 15 feet in the air. They had to take those last few hills and go up 30 or so feet to get it over so that cars could go underneath it. So where you would have probably got a nice couple little pops of air at the end, that was kind of just barely made it up and over.
I mean, it was, like I said, it was not bad. It didn't hurt. You know, it wasn't so rough as to be like miserable of an experience. And, you know, it had buzz bars.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's
like,
always
how
fun.
Can you hate that, you know? And it has a little bit of airtime, and, you know, they were cool to us. They took a picture of us.
Yeah, like, we're, like, again, like these parks all, like, we're catering to the nerd masses that are in town, and they're like, oh, is this where our barbecue place is? I think it's right over here. All right. So, probably the coolest part of the coaster, though, was you crested a lift hill, and they designed it well that it was pointing directly out towards the ocean about a mile down the road. So you just see, like, beach and ocean. So that was a pretty cool...
It's there right here.
Oh, right. What am I looking for? Fast River?
There's East River.
Oh, East River. All right. Well, so let's wrap Cannonball Run. That'll be a nice break, I guess, before we... overall, I thought it was... Oh, wow. Filled place here. We can go sit by the, like, broken down pontoon boat.
Oh, actually, there's a...
Oh, there's spots.
Yeah, we got a spot.
Okay. So, yeah, Cannonball, like, it was good. Glad we rode it. Always sad to see wooden coasters go. We asked the 16-year-old girl running it, like, because clearly she knows everything, but, you know, why not? And our intel tells us it's a park expansion, but she also said the coaster was, they're removing it because it was really, really old, like 44 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I was well alive when this thing was open, and I'm not 44. Like, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, Waterville, like, it looked like a decent little water park, especially if they expand it. It could be something. So, yeah, and then we ventured to a bar, but we'll save that for after dinner. Let's go get a barbecue. All right, so let's see. We were talking.
We'd gotten done talking about Waterville.
Waterville, yes. We wrapped that up. And where did we go? I dragged you. This is my idea. I've been pimping this out. I dragged you to where? You
Floribama.
Floribama, which...
You didn't have to pull my...
Yeah, I kind of just had to explain what it is. And you're like, yeah, I'm in. So it's a dive bar, like, to the extreme on the Florida-Alabama line, hence the name. And it's kind of gotten famous over the years from, like, Jimmy Buffett has a couple songs about it. Kenny Chesney has a couple songs about it. So it's kind of, like, gotten, like, and I think, like, MTV had a Florida-Bama kind of Real World or something that took a lot of place at that place. So kind of got known for that. Oh, look at this place. Oh, I thought it was, like, barbecue smoke. I was like, oh, that's smoking. So we went to this dive bar to kind of end all dive bars. And, what was your impression? We stumbled around it because it's very confusing. It's like 10 different things in one.
There's like 4 or 5 stages. And like the big thing is they always have live music going on, at least like...
Yeah, it said 365 live music every day.
It looked like all the live music starts about 2 o'clock, which is when we showed up. And like we went to the upstairs main bar first.
Which was like a typical dive bar. And we sat down, and what did we hear?
Like the worst music.
Yeah, it was like some like 50-year-old woman who like looked like she's never played guitar before, and it was like out of tune.
And lots of feedback on the mic. Like everything sounded bad about it.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, let's get out of here. Like this is a bad situation.
Oh, hold on. Is this our party? Party
code? Party zone?
Maybe.
No. I don't
Where
see anything.
It might be like the.
It must be closer to Panama City.
Are we going the right way? Yeah, right. I think it must be over there. I just don't remember the giant parking garage. So we're first. And then I was like, yeah, you know, like before we order a bar here, let's see if we can go outside because it's right on the water. And we went and we got like something from the outdoor bar. It was okay. Like beers were what, like $3 or $4?
It was like $3.75 for a Coors Light or a Miller Light type thing. And you know, it's not like a terrible price. Pabst was $5.
Yeah, that was weird. That was backwards.
I was like, what is this? Like, what are you trying to do to me? Like, I'm used to paying about $2.50 for this.
Yeah. You know? And like, then, and there's a marine adventure park.
Golfarium.
We got a cute dolphin on the front of it, too.
I'm guessing it's probably not AZA accredited. There's the adventure zone.
Oh, yeah, there's the adventure zone. Right across from, what is this? The boardwalk. What that looks fun. The crab trap. Like, that is... Hey, the Adventure Zone, yeah, we're driving past a place that used to have an SBF visa, but on the other side of the road, there's like a gigantic, like really cool looking, like mall right on the water with a ton of restaurants. But anyways, we were talking Floribama. We I got like a mixed drink for like $6. It was okay, and then we decided to explore deeper into the place. Doesn't look very big from the outside, but man, there was like. So many stages, outdoor stage, and then we walked in, and it was like if you just think Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, but like complete dive bar.
It's like the thing that you theme stuff after, you know, like, you know, the real thing has like, you know, bras hanging on a clothesline, and everybody's like written their name on magic marker on the side of the wall, and you know, it's pretty cool for what it is. Like, it's not totally my scene. I think most people know that, like, you know, I probably rock a little bit harder than what would be expected for like a country music sort of bar, but not that I have anything against country music necessarily, but you know, it was, there was like a dude doing kind of these like country music songs and
lap steel guitar. And what was on the front of the lap steel guitar?
Dale Earnhardt, the Dale Earnhardt number 3.
Lap steel guitar, signature mode.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was good. Does that, actually, like, I would just wanted to listen to that dude play. Like, I would have been cool with that.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like the main room there, it looked very much like Margaritaville. Like, I mean, this place has been around for like 50 years, I think. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that has like some of the inspiration for a lot of these like beach bars that you see everywhere. Like, this is kind of one of the big original like beach dive bars. But I would say, like, I think it, like you were just saying, like, if that's your scene, like country music and like dive, it felt divey and dirty for 2 o'clock. I can't imagine how stinky that place must smell, how divey it is come like 8, 9 o'clock. Like, you have to be like 18 or over, I think, after like 6. I could see that just becoming a drunken mess.
Sure. Yeah, if you're into like 45 year old women's like breasts being bared with like just being like slightly on the saggy side, like, it's probably your scene. Like, it's probably way interesting to you. And I'm sure it's a blast, though. Like, you know what? This is an interesting comparison I'm going to give you. Like, I remember, like, years ago, there was that PBS special about great old amusement parks.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that on VHS tape.
And I do, too. And, like, they were talking about, like, you know, the old amusement parks would build something here, and they just build something here, and build something here, and that's how they expanded. So there's never really a master plan. And this is kind of the same thing, where it was like, well, more people have shown up. We need to build another bar in another stage, so we'll just build one. Like, if you just emptied the whole building out and turned into one big hall, it would hold probably like 2,500, 3,000 people.
Yeah, it would be huge, but I think it would lose some of its character.
Yeah, and this way, like, you can see, like, you know, there could be 5 bands playing at one time.
And then they even expanded their empire, like, across the road. They now have, like, boat rentals.
There's a grill. There's, like,
a liquor store.
Yeah.
So, like, they're definitely trying to play it up. But, like, the crazy thing, too, also was, it's just a little too divey for my taste. But it's one of those things, like, if you're driving along, you know, it's kind of infamous. I would say, you know, parking's free. Stop over, jump in, grab a beer. Not a PBR because those are expensive there. But I think it was it's kind of one of those things, like, yep, been there, done that.
It's kind of funny because it's like, you said it was too divey for you.
I don't know if dive, like, I like dive bars.
I feel like it wasn't divey enough.
Yeah, like, well, maybe that's what it was. Like, I feel like it was, it couldn't figure out if it was trying to be, like,
a simulation of a dive bar?
Yeah, like, it
was,
yeah,
bar.
Is it authentic, or was it, and I think maybe that's what, here we go. Oh, hold on, I'm going to stop recording here so I can get video of this. Okay, we're back on. All right, so We're
dusted right now.
Dusted, which is really nice. Like, they're
this thing over here, the Emerald Grand, is freaking gnarly.
Like, yeah, and that, like, boardwalk.
It looks like
if it's just a Saturday night, like, it's like bumper to bumper to get in. Or
there's a zip line right there.
Oh shit, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it looks like there's zero parking. Or I'd say let's try to swing in.
Yeah. It looks like a gigantic resort hotel / like in a gingerbread. Like, kind of architectural style. Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
World's famous tiki bar right there. AJ's Tiki Bar. Yeah, all these places. I mean, Saturday night, like, all these parking lots are overflowing. I think Destin's one of the nicer areas for beaches, too. But, so we were Florida Bama. Yeah, so I guess maybe you're right. And maybe I'm trying to say it's not, maybe it wasn't too divey for me. It was, I couldn't tell if it was the real thing or like they were trying to play up discount wire sports spot like Disney. Sorry, we just saw a sign that said that, but yeah, I couldn't tell if they're trying to play up like is that how it really is, or like they trying to like play it up, you know?
Yeah, that was basically my attitude towards it. Like, the thing is, like, when you have 375 beer, like, to me, like, that's not a dive bar, you know what I'm saying? Like, a dive bar is like 250 Bud Lights and, you know, random, like I did see people smoking at bars or indoors, which, you know, most people hate that, but to me it's like the sign of a good dive bar. My only mistake was not asking for a cigarette myself. Not that I really smoke, but on occasion when they're handed to me and I have a beer in my other hand, I'll work with that. Yeah, I don't know. It was okay. Like it, but it's cool. It's just so big. Like there's it's such a huge space, and there's so much stuff going on in there. I also agree. Like I don't know if I would like it more when it was actually busy. Like I feel like I would feel grossly out of place.
Yeah, I think that's what I kind of mean by it was a little too dive bar for me. Like I like a good dive bar in like downtown Detroit or like Orlando, where like it's like a crowd that's going there because of the dive bar. Here, this felt a little too much. Like, you know, since we were in bathing suits just coming off the beach, like we were already super overdressed as it was. Like, I feel like if you're not smoking and completely like sunburnt from being on the beach all day and like being true Alabaman way, like you'd be out of place.
Yeah, if you don't have like Roll Tide tattooed somewhere prominently on your body, like it may be.
Oh, that we forgot to talk about. Speaking of tattoos, so you'll see this in the video, but as we're leaving OA, he's like, "Hey, you want a handstand?" You know, just like any other park, and we're like,
"Andrew did the right thing, which was to say no."
Yeah,
I was like, "Fuck that! I'm getting a handstand."
Yeah,
and then Andrew, of course, did it along with me because peer pressure.
Yeah, well, you're like, "Well, I don't know. I mean, plans change. Who knows if we have that?" So we're like, "Whatever, okay." So he's like, "We go to get it on our hand." He's like, "No, it's higher up on your arm, and like literally stamps the lower inner part of your bicep." So now, and like, it's where, like, when you go to, like, kind of flex your arm or, like, when you bring your arm in, it's where, like, your arm at the joint. So then it gets on, like, the front part of your arm. But I keep looking down, it's right below, like, my, the end of my sleeve.
It's dripping. That's the other thing. Like, yeah. We're sweating because we're outside. So it's dripping, like, well, running down the arm.
And it looks like a tattoo. I keep looking down, thinking I have, like, a tattoo. Like, surprised I didn't get thrown out of Florida Bama because a gang tattoo or something.
Or like we have like barcodes tattooed on us, like sign of the beast or something. Like this is what that was really weird about OA as well. Like a lot of weird stuff about OA in general, but
yeah, just stamp that people's hand. Like I don't know what's the big deal.
So we did Florida Bama, and then we got back in the car and we're like, all right, credit time.
Yeah,
so
back, focus. We got focus. We focused on booze a little bit there, and we realigned our focus, and we went to. Oh, before we get into that, here's that again.
This is Big Kahuna, I think.
Is this Big Kahuna? Yeah. So like, this is what we were talking about, I think, earlier in the podcast, where we're just cruising along like the main drag here, and there's like this place is a water park. Yeah, it's Big Kahuna. And, like, we see in the back there's, like, a slingshot and stuff like that. So we're like, ooh, is there a coaster there? Like, but that's a pretty cool, wow, that's a pretty cool-looking water park there.
It's got a full artificial mountain that's
yeah, it's, like, think, like, Blizzard Beach, but, like half scale. And it's, like, built on the side of this, like, rockwork mountain. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's got a sky coaster, it looks like. I think it's a real one.
Yeah, we're in Destin right now. And I would say, like, Destin's probably one of the nicer areas we've driven through. You know, it feels a little bit more upscale with some of the bars and like that, the floating beach area. But so, yeah, we got back in the car after Florida Bama and we drove to Sam's Fun City in Pensacola, Florida. Best known probably for the home of the Blue Angels.
Also Roy Jones Jr. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, here's the other park. This is okay.
This is the track.
Man, we keep getting distracted here. Destin's like theme park wannabe central here because we're going past another park, the track, similar to the one we failed the credit earlier. We think this one used to have a credit, right?
Yeah, this one used to, and we're kind of looking at it real quick, making sure that
nothing's popped up. Yeah,
there's like I don't think we can do that. I don't think that's an option for us.
Oh yeah! Wow!
There's. Oh, you know what? I take that. No, that is.
There's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
There's nothing on it.
There's no seats.
So it's what? It's an SNS? Is that an SNS something? And like, it's a gigantic swing.
I don't even know what that is. Like, I don't know who makes that thing.
All right, we're going to pause the recording here and just get a video. Okay, so we're back at it. We keep getting distracted. I think we're moving out of the wannabe theme park realm of Destin. But, all right, so we're Sam's Fun City, going to Pensacola. And, yeah, Sam's Fun
City. Expected another FEC, like another FEC.
Yeah, yeah. And Sam's Fun City, like, let's start. There's a lot of positives to Sam's Fun City.
I think Sam's Fun City is more interesting than OWA.
Oh, I would agree. Because it's it's like a mini amusement park. Like, it's one of these things that I'm like, we were talking, we're like, every major city, like, especially like Nashville, Detroit, Indianapolis, that don't have theme parks, needs a, something like a Sam's Fun City. Not exactly like it, but something similar to it, because it had, had like a, you know, a water park, it had two coasters, antique cars, a train ride. But let's start. They had the Emerald Coaster, which you know better than me. What kind of coaster is that?
So it's a Pinfari Z40 Zyklon. So basically, you're pretty much your common everyday Zyklon coaster.
Which is kind of like a wild mouse.
Yeah, I mean, if you've never seen one before, you know, they're very popular at fairs. They're being remade now. You know, it's a figure eight layout. It's pretty compact. They're generally, like, kind of fun rides. This one came from the UK and had over-the-shoulder restraints. It actually still had the old name on it, which was Cat and Mouse, and it had, like, Tom and Jerry on one side, and then Pinky and the Brain, like, on the other, in terms, like, it was all, like, airbrushed on. And, but it's now called the Emerald Coaster, because that's what the paint job, I guess, is. And it's fairly new, isn't it? Like, it's a couple years old.
Nah, I think they built it last summer.
Which is funny, because, like, the rest of the park has, like, a really kind of rundown.
Yeah, so that's the thing about Sam's Fun City is, if you gave us some TLC, when I say TLC, I mean, like,
someone, good power wash.
A good power wash, and someone spending the day clipping some trees and cutting the bushes so they're not, like, kind of overbearing onto the walkway. It would be a pretty neat-looking park. It's kind of, there's, like, a Hollywood-themed area. The mini golf course looked like it would have been really cool, but it was like clearly like hasn't been open in years. My guess is maybe
I think it is open sometimes.
No, because the wooden pathway was missing the top part.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I wonder if that's like a hurricane like thing. Like if it
if that happened fairly recently.
Kind of, like maybe last year in the hurricanes or something. Or maybe
the carpets look bad. I'll say that.
Like, yeah, like maybe it's one of those things that's kind of like end of the season, so. They know it's hurricane season, so like, hey, why are we going to work on landscaping? I don't know, the coaster was good. Then
it
we
was
would
okay. Like, I wouldn't say it was good.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Let's walk that one back a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, okay, like, okay.
First of all, it's over the shoulder restraints for Zyklon, yeah. Which is completely unnecessary. The one plus side is that it's really slow anytime it turns.
Yeah, we thought we were going to roll back at the one spot.
Yeah, there's a bunch of trim brakes that basically bring the train or the car as it is to like pretty much a dead standstill, and so it doesn't hurt. Like the stop, it has like a chain brake. I hate those.
Yeah.
I don't think either of you noticed this too. When we hit the chain brake, the restraints immediately popped. So I just like opened it and I was like, all right, time to go. And I like almost stepped out while it was still like moving forward. Nice. You guys were just sitting there with the OTSRs down.
So then we did probably one of the dirtiest credit hoarding things ever. It didn't feel super dirty because we were the only like adults there and the manager was kind of in on the gag. But, Alan, how tall are you?
5'11".
The coaster was much shorter than Alan.
Yeah, significantly so.
Let's put it this way. I don't think the coaster's tall enough to ride a B&M. It's not hitting the 54 inches.
There's no way. None. The thing is, like, we all got on. There's me, you, and who's the other guy?
A friend. Well, we don't know if he wants to be associated with all this. So we'll just say a friend from UCF... great guy, part of the theme park group there. We don't want to maybe call him out by name, but we ran into him because like we were, I think we were saying earlier, all the FECs were telling us like, oh, everyone's here for the coasters. And you're trying to, and like everyone's, and like, sure enough, we walk up to the counter, like, you're here for the coasters. Cause like two like grown adults, why else would we be there?
Yeah,
and we're like, yeah,
Mission Park shirts on actually.
Yeah. And we're like, yeah. And she's like, okay, here's the tickets. I'll be out of the kiddie coaster in a little bit. And the manager, she was like the man, like on-call manager, and she was awesome. She was like, oh, so what parks have you been to? You know, I've been to this one. I used to go to Magic Mountain, love Magic Mountain, blah, blah, blah. She was talking, and then she's like, okay, so we're going to try this. It was a It's debatable whether or not it was fully powered. It looked
it's
like
powered.
I don't know if it was powered the whole
powered.
Way.
It's powered. It's got the motors in the center.
But we get in the three back cars, and it just, she tried like three or four times to push it over the 50-inch tall hill. And it wasn't having it. So Alan, like a champ, jumped off, because I think at this point he's like, oh, it's powered. I'm not going to count it. And he jumped off, and she had to, like, use the joystick to take it back and forth, back, because she would, like, take it back a little bit, try to build up speed. And we finally got to go over, and, like, she sent us around, like, three or four times. And then she's like, you're going backwards, and just throws it in reverse and takes us around backwards. And this whole time, like, there's a crowd building around, like all the families at the park are like, oh my gosh, this ride's actually open today, let's go over there. So we embarrassingly get off the ride, but we kind of valid, our fat asses could not,
couldn't make it up
the ride could not make it over that hill. So, but also they had, antique cars with a barbecue in the middle of it.
Yes, yes, there's just a grill, like a big propane grill. The train was wacky. Like, I don't know where that train is from.
Because you would think a park like this, you know, usually you see like the CP Huntington train, but this was like, the track was smaller than a CP Huntington, but the cars were like pretty big.
They were all custom. It was really narrow track gauge, and it was tall. Like, the cars were super tall.
You have to think those things could get blown over easily or something.
Yeah, it was like, and there was a sign out that's like, this train runs once an hour on, like, what, the half of the hour or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
So, just really weird stuff, and to me, like I said, it's like Owa is definitely like cleaner and better. Like, put quote marks around it. Like, it has like new rides, and the rides that it has are better rides. Like, it has a big tower swing. It has a wave swinger. It's got three coasters. It's got, you know, a mix of flat rides. It has one of those Amperla air races. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You know, they have all those new Enterprise things too, but that wasn't running. That looks like it's been DOA for a while. And this place is, you know, old, used flat rides. There were a couple kiddie rides that I looked at, and I was like, I don't know what the hell you are. Like, there was that one that looked like it had, like, spider arms, like, as far as, like, the arms that hold the carriages, or whatever you want to call it, cars or seats. And the seats were, like, these, they looked like metal drop tanks or something that had been, like, opened up, and then they, like, welded diamond plate steel to the bottom of them. Like, I'm like, did you make this? Like, I've never seen this ride before. I don't know what, and I've been to literally hundreds of parks and like many carnivals and fairs globally, and when I don't know what something is, like, it's pretty surprising.
But that's also like the fun of it. Like, I think we always talk, it's fun to go and like see stuff you haven't seen, because not to sound like spoiled or like humble brag here, but like, we've been to a lot of parks around the world, and we've seen a lot of stuff. So like, to see something we haven't seen before is always kind of exciting, just from like, oh man, like, we thought we saw it all, but nope,
now there's this thing. Yeah, exactly. And
let me do a little audio check here. All right, we're still recording.
Okay. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, that to me, like, I would rather have, in many ways, something that's novel or something that's different than quote-unquote good. Like, there's a bunch of B&M hypers, and they're all really cool. But to be honest with you, like, I'm as excited to ride the Race City Hurricane that we're going to be going on in just a little bit, because I know it's good and has, like, unique trains for this particular ride. And so it's different. Like, different things are what's freaking awesome. I love different. Because, you know, again, like you said, like, not trying to humble brag, but, like, probably if you counted, like, all the amusement parks and theme parks and zoos and stuff that I've been to, and then, like, check in, like, the number of fairs, it's probably, like, somewhere in, like, the 350 to 400 range. Like, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. And, again, when you've been to, like, if you've been to 400 places that have amusement rides and you see something new, like, come on. You know, and I've traveled to, like, 50 countries. Like, this is different. Like, I think, like, Sam's Fun City is kind of, like, the classic, like, this is some guy's idea. You know, rather...
Likely Sam.
No, it was named after his kid. And I'm also really interested, too, because, like, the last name is Sanfilippo, of the family that built this. And there's a San Filippo family from the Chicagoland area that is, they were involved with one of the, like, the peanut companies. Like, and they're super rich, and, like one of the guys from the, they have the San Filippo estate, which has the only operational salon carousel in America. Odd factoid for you. So I wonder if there's any relationship between the two, because, like, a bunch of people that have the same last name also doing amusement parks seems really weird, and amusement rides.
And then there's also random Bullwinkle, like,
yeah,
Bullwinkle's on the sign, and, like, their one, like, closed food stand was themed to Bullwinkle, like, so I don't know if that's a licensed character or that's just a we like Bullwinkle.
I assume it was a license because there used to be a bunch of Bullwinkles, like Bullwinkle's fun centers.
Maybe that's the origin here.
That's my guess. And, like, they debranded. It's kind of like when a Best Western becomes a Magnuson.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is, like, on the amusement park level. Like, that's what we've got. Or, like, when, like, Six Flags parks became, like, Walibis and stuff like that.
So Sam's Fun City, like, it's been open, I think it said, since, like, 2000. And, you know, like we said, it's hard to tell if it was maybe, is it the end of the season? So, like, they're kind of just letting their guard down. You know, it's definitely seen better days, I think, no matter what. Like, but the manager, shout out to her. She was super fun. Totally, like, you know, sometimes you go, like, this is where it's, like, dirty credit horror, secrets tell all. Like, sometimes you go to these parks and they, like, really, like, give you, like, the stink eye about riding the kiddie ride. And, like, you can tell that they're clearly, like, afterwards talking, like, what the hell, you know? But, like, she was, like, I think we were probably the highlight of her day. Like, she was she's probably like, oh my gosh, adults are actually showing up here. I can have a conversation with adults. And, and, like, she, you know, I don't think I'd categorize her as a theme park fan, but I think she's well-versed enough, where, like, she's like, oh yeah, the Waterville coaster's closing. I heard that's actually for sale. So, like, she knew, like, enough stuff to have, like, some good conversation with us beyond, like, the, oh, you like roller coasters? Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's pretty much the deal. Like she was decent, and, you know, again, that whole place is just so... All the places we've been to today, like, none of them are very orthodox. Like, you don't sit there and go, like, that's kind of a generic-looking American theme park from the 1970s. Like, none of this stuff is generic. Like, if there's anything I can say, like, if none of it is, like, you know, above a C in terms of quality, at least it's all different and interesting.
Yeah. I think that kind of makes sense. I mean, like you just were hearing as we were getting distracted, you know, within, like, a couple miles of each other in Destin, there was, you know, there was two or three water park. You know, you had Willie's Weird Center or whatever, dinosaur place, and then you had 2 miles down the road the track, and then 2 miles later you had Big Kahuna Water Park. So, like, you know, I guess you kind of got to be a little different around these parts. Be cool to see a coaster at one of them. Maybe not cool, because then we'd have to come back. That's not a knock on the area. Destin area looks fantastic, but I'm just a lot of other places I need to go to before I need to come back here.
I feel like at the very least, what you could do is, like, stop in Destin. Like, you don't have to go all the way to Gulf Shores anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
It's still a long drive.
Yeah, it is.
Because we are Destin to Orlando is basically the equivalent of Orlando to Charlotte, and in Charlotte there is quite a few good attractions, namely barbecue, and then there's also Carowinds. which Carowinds is fine, but have you ever been to the Whitewater Center in Charlotte?
No.
Do you know what the Whitewater Center is?
No.
All right.
No, I do. This is
U.S. National Whitewater Center.
Yeah,
okay.
Where they have, like, it's like a fake whitewater rafting.
Yeah, and they, like, film a lot of movies there. Like, most movies you see, like, the whitewater rafting scenes are filmed there. So just fun note, if you're, like, water activities, about, like, 15 minutes from Carowinds, there's this big whitewater center where it's a fake whitewater river that you can kayak, tube down. And then, like, on the weekends at night when, you know, it's not really, I guess, safe to be swimming through there, they do, like, beer festivals and movies on, like, the green. So, just random Charlotte tip for you right there.
When you go to Dubai, as a matter of fact, in the UAE, I should say, in Abu Dhabi, I want to say it's actually in Al Ain, they have a place called Wadi Adventure that's basically the same sort of thing.
Oh, that's really cool.
And they have, like, multiple types. They actually have multiple runs and different levels of rapids, I think, like, 2, 3, and 4. So there you go. Now you know that too.
Oh, I can't swim, so you can make fun of me for that. But I don't know how I'd go for the drinking later in the day. But so yeah, we're Charlotte, UAE, but we're in Florida, and so Sam's Fun City, thumbs up. She gave us a good barbecue recommendation. Yeah. Do we talk about, we said we were at the barbecue place, but I don't think we talked about the barbecue place.
It's okay. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Like the area on the water. Around it's really nice. It's on the water.
Yeah,
it's
the water. So it's points
for that. You get a giant thing of beer. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. What are you going to do? Complain for that. Forever? Like, no.
Yeah. So now we are headed back to where we were last night. We didn't think we were going to get this credit because, originally when we planned the trip, we thought it was going to be open late. And we thought we were going to have to just, because you got to catch a flight tomorrow down in Orlando at like 6. So we got to get you to the airport by like 4 or 4:30.
Yeah.
So, and we wanted to try to do something in Orlando tomorrow. But we finished up everything early. So we're headed back to Panama City to try to get on this hurricane coaster. So that should be good. So I guess we can check back in after the hurricane here, and then fill in all about that, and that's what, like, I think we got like 45 more minutes, an hour. So yay. Yeah. So back on the road,
hour 87 of our absurd journey that we're undergoing.
So we went to the park we didn't think we were gonna make to, but we did, Race City PCB. And we rolled through the park like rock stars when we first got there. You want to retell this tale of how you get to a parking lot?
Yeah, so you drive off like the main strip. You turn left or right, or we turn left in this instance. And like parking's in back, and it's, you have to drive through the park. Like you have to, like the main midway is also a driveway with live traffic. And we're getting signs about don't drive drowsy, and I'm desperately trying to keep both myself and Andrew awake. So you just drive through people, and again, it's kind of like Sam's Fun City in that it's more of an actual amusement park, and that has like a multitude of rides than just being like go-karts and bumper boats and a roller coaster.
Like, but the difference is, I think with this one, it felt more like a carnival that just is like there, like for the time being. Like where Sam's Fun City, the rides looked like, you know, they had like a permanent fence around them, like a little queue line. This was basically just like carnival rides with the gray like temporary queue setup around it.
And I don't think that we're seeing this in a demeaning fashion necessarily. Like we're trying to say that it looks like a carnival. Like no, it was like. You have the wood blocks that are underneath, like, the mounting for stuff, so it's all level, like, because that's what you do at a carnival. There was what looked like a swing ride to me, like, not a yo-yo, but like a kid's swing ride, that just straight up didn't have anything up. It was just the chassis and, like, the gearing assembly. Like, there was no motor, no seats, no covering. Like, if you didn't know what you were looking at, you just look at the skeleton of a ride sitting there and be like, what is that? And it has that stuff basically, like, and it has a few flat rides. There's a paratrooper, there's a Matterhorn type music ride, there was a Eli Scrambler, I think it's a Wisdom makes them, the Bear Affair rides. So it had like, I think there was an Eli wheel, so Sky Coaster, you know, had that weird bumper cars, like those round bumper cars.
Playing Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, playing Cotton Eye Joe. There's this one kid on it, and he's just like spinning it around in circles and then just like driving into the walls. I mean, it was kind of, it's like sad, and also like, I feel like it's some kind of commentary about where we are. Like, if I was, you know, some sort of poet laureate, I could write something like really deep and meaningful about it, but I'm not even anywhere near that. But it does have an SDC hurricane.
It does, and that was, dare we say, maybe the coaster of the trip, which isn't saying a lot. Don't think this is like, yeah. Don't think we're putting this one in our top 10, 20, or 30, a couple things make it a little different. You've been on more of these, so I'll let you take the wheel on this one.
So, like, the main difference is it got new trains when it was at Long Island Adventureland in, I think it got the new trains, I want to say, in 2001 or 2002. Can't remember which year. You could probably look it up on my old blog when I moved all my RRC trip reports over to it. It may even be on the RCDB entry as well. And so it's got T-bars. The original restraints for these rides were a single steel lap bar, kind of like the Morgan Wood Coaster trains that came down. It was usually, like, unpadded and not very comfortable. And the T-bars are way more comfortable. It's got a seatbelt, too. And this ride, unlike most of them, was totally untrimmed.
Yeah, not like the trims were off. Like, there was not one single brake on the entire circuit.
Yeah, they were all taken off except for, obviously, the station brakes. So it hauled ass through that layout. And, you know, it looked, there's a fair amount of wear on that ride. I think that's fair to say, but it ran well. Like, and when one of those rides is good and it's comfortable because it has those restraints, like, they're fun rides. They're really fun rides. And on a day like today, we were riding Zyklons with over the shoulders and that awful Zamperla pile of junk. Like, objectively, is that the best ride we went on? Like, it's a contender. Like, it's that or the Waterville coaster. Like, those are the two that we went on that were best by far.
Yeah, I might side with the Waterville one just because it's wooden coasters and I kind of like that.
It's got Buzz Bar and stuff.
Yeah, it's a little bit more like traditional coaster that I kind of like. But plus, I've been on several versions of the Hurricane, so.
I think as a whole, like, both of us kind of agree. Well, before we get into, like, talking about, like, how we feel about the area, like, we should mention next door's Cobra Amusement Park or Adventure Park or whatever.
It's like one big complex, but they had a bunch of skee ball, like the old school skee ball you would have saw at, like, Cedar Point in the main arcade before they, like, slowly got rid of most of it. They had probably, like, 10 or 15 lanes. They were not in good shape, but not surprising since they were, like, in an arcade that was, like, quasi outside, so I'm sure they just the salt in the air and stuff just eats away at it. But 25-cent skee ball, not the cheapest, but definitely not the most expensive, and it's made for a good time.
Yeah, I actually think like the relays and stuff, like when you'd actually throw the balls and like the balls releasing and all the rest of it, like that worked fine. Like they worked better than Cedar Point's on that level, but the lanes themselves were like cracked, like they were a mess. Not the greatest to play ever, but that park used to have that crazy. Did you ever see a picture or video of the snowmobile ride it used to have?
No.
So it had this S&S launched ride, kind of like those dragsters that they used to have at Kentucky Kingdom.
Oh, I vaguely remember this.
But you sat on a snowmobile
because Stan Chekins loves snowmobiles. Like that's like a legit thing. Like he has souped up ones that can go super fast.
And there's the story from the interview I did with Mark Rosenzweig. Did you ever hear?
Oh yeah. He talked about how he was like put him on
snowmobile. Yeah, and he just died with Stan Chekins. So yeah, they had the snowmobiling ride that was there for like 3-4 years, and it's been gone for a while. Like that would have been by far the most interesting thing that we would have done today if they had it. But tragically, it's long deceased. But at least they had like cheap skee ball. Like it's basically a quarter of play. Like use tokens, but if you obviously the more dollars you put in, like if you put in a 20, you get like $2 in bonus tokens, so it's actually sub 25 cents if you do that much. We didn't. I got it over 300 a couple times, so I was happy with my $2 to play. And then, like, the guy just was like, I'll give you 200 tickets each.
We probably had 20 tickets
each. Yeah, I had 52, I counted. But I got myself a disguise kit, and you got a pack of cards.
I got a pack. You can never have enough playing cards. I feel like every time people come over and we're trying to have a party, it's like, oh, crap, where's the cards? So I figure, yeah, here.
Might as well get another.
Yeah, it's
another
probably
set.
Crap cards, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, the cheapest, most awful things from the Oriental Trading catalog. And
we didn't even pull up directions for this. We're like, we see flashing lights over there. We see like it's there's a reverse bungee and maybe a sky coaster. So we drove over there just to investigate again because you never know if there's going to be a SBF Visa coaster that popped up. This one, it literally, there was one complex that has a slingshot and one of those skyscrapers and go-karts. And then like another quarter mile down, There was it looked like it used to be a track facility because they had all the same kind of rides and go-kart tracks as the other track, the track parks we've seen.
Yeah,
but like, it was something different there. But
like
no
Emerald Point or something like that. Like they had, I forgot what the names were, and I'm sure if you go on Google Maps, you can find them. Like the second one that we had, it had a reverse bungee, and then it had that tower thing that we were trying to figure out what it was. It looked like it might be like a propeller ride.
Yeah.
And that's just like the back spike to use the reverse bungee's own towers as like fake sky coaster.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other place had like a skyscraper ride, which I didn't feel like spending $15 for today. And the reverse bungee, which it honestly, like the way it was moving, I should have gotten a closer look at it. It might have been like the actual elastic bungees, which those are death traps. Like those are the worst. Like you should never, just so anyone out there knows, like if you see a reverse bungee with bungee cords instead of the cables and the springs, you should probably not do that. That's all I'm gonna tell
you. There you go.
Just don't do it.
Friendly warning there.
Yeah.
I mean, before we close the chapter on today's Shadows of Goo, we don't quite know what we're doing tomorrow. There's a lot of possibilities. Could involve some dirty credit horn. It could involve beer fest at Busch Gardens or Mako or a fun spot.
Something.
There'll be some roller coasters written somewhere in the state of Florida. We're not sure yet. We even kicked around Wild Adventures at some point because you bought your Dollywood pass.
Yeah.
So we think you got free there. Like, who knows? At one point today, when we were kind of ahead of schedule, since Alan's never been to Splash Alabama, Splash Adventure and Rampage is amazing, we kicked around driving 4 or 5 hours north to that. I mean, that's the thing. There's options are endless when there's no good coasters nearby. I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's the honest truth. There's like no, like,
there's nothing good.
There's nothing good nearby. So you're like, ugh, is it worth driving 4 hours all the way to try to get on one of the best wooden coasters in the country? Kind of.
Like, honestly, like, on some level, OA feels like work. You know, like it feels like an obligation. Like, you're going to go see, I gotta go see Grandma. I gotta go to OA. I just gotta go. Like,
Grandma, if you're listening, it doesn't feel like work to come see you. Keep making me those cookies every time I show up.
But it's like, or like, you know, like, oh, you have to go to, like, this uncle that you don't like. And you're like, I guess. Like, a wedding for, like, people you barely give a shit about.
Yeah.
Like, coworkers are doing something and you have to go. Like, fuck that. No. Like, but you know you have to go. And that's kind of how, like, I feel about OWA because, like, that's just what I do. Like, that's what I've always done with, like, pretty much my entire life since adolescence. This shit. So I don't know any different. Like, this is all this is all I know. It's all I've done. Yeah, like, none of the coasters were that good today.
Yeah. But, hey, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, my Japan trip, I rode, like, 70 coasters, and none of them were really that good either. But they're, like, different. So, you know, that's sometimes, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles. But what I want to talk to you about before we, like, kind of end this chapter of the old pod is what we thought of the city. So, I don't know. I think we've talked, like, a little bit about it off mic here, if you will, but I think we've both been to our fair share of beach towns, and I want to, like, throw out, like, the Santa Cruz Beach boardwalks and kind of, like, and some of, like, Santa Monica Pier and, like, San Diego just beach in general. Like, I'm talking about, like, Florida or, like, Myrtle Beach-style beach towns and kind of compare what we saw today. We didn't stop at many of them, but, like, just kind of driving by, like, what did you, like, have you been to Daytona and Cocoa and that kind of stuff?
I've been to Daytona, I don't think I've been to Cocoa.
It's like, not, it makes Daytona look great.
That's not exactly the highest recommendation.
No. So, I would say, keep me honest here, we did Panama City, and then we drove to, like, Destin, Fort Walton Beach, into Pensacola Beach, over to Gulf Shores. So it was pretty much, except for like a little bit of area, it was pretty much just nonstop beach towns. And
yeah, basically every major like spot on the Panhandle.
Yeah, I would say all of it was probably nicer than Daytona, with Panama City Beach being probably the closest to Daytona, where it feels like it's very much like spring break. Like, you grab a cooler, you go get drunk on the beach, and there's a couple mini golf courses off the beach. And there's not a lot of, like, bars or cool restaurants on the beach. It's basically all just hotels along the beach. So you don't really get a lot of cool, like, hangouts along the beach.
And, like, there's huge nightclubs, which right now are, like, empty. Like, wasn't there one that's, like, party with thousands of your friends?
Yeah, like there was like, little... Like, if we were, too bad we didn't have the camera fired up in time, but it was, like, party with thousands of your friends on this billboard, then we drive, like, past the tree that's underneath it, and there's, like, three cars in the parking lot. And it's 8 o'clock, but still, not going to draw in the big crowds. But I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, if you heard probably, like, I guess a couple hours ago for us recording this, but probably, like, 10 minutes ago in the podcast when we were driving through Fort Walton, Destin, we're like, oh, look, floating bars. Oh, wow, look at this big, fancy hotel. Like, I was really shocked. I was not expecting how nice that Destin, Fort Walton, Pensacola beach area was. Like it looked like there was some really, really cool beachfront bars. Not Florida Bama divey, but like really cool, nice, go chill, have drinks kind of at bars. Like really, really big ones too.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Like Destin definitely looks like somewhere I'd want to investigate further. Same with Fort Walton Beach. Pensacola was cool. Panama City, man, like...
It's big. It's spread out. Like, Panama City, I feel like, is... I think we talked about this earlier on the pod about why we think Miracle Strip didn't work out that well, because it's very spread out. I feel like Panama City is one of those beaches. You go get your condo, you go grocery shop, and you live out of your condo the whole time you're there. Whereas... Fort Walton, Destin feel more like, you know, you have a condo, but then you go do a kind of all the like beachfront restaurants and stuff while you're there.
There's not really like a boardwalk or anything.
No,
like,
no.
You know, like there's nowhere to walk around. Like,
and each of the other
just
ones
feels really spread out. Just feels like a million little isolated islands.
Yeah, and whereas the other ones we drove through all kind of had like a big like beach bar, like multi beach bar complex.
Like Destin had that area that was kind of like it was in that waterway,
yeah,
in that channel, and there was obviously a bunch of restaurants and bars you could walk along.
Kind of like a San Antonio Riverwalk kind of vibe,
yeah,
along there.
Yeah. So I, you know, perhaps negatively, no, it is negative. Like, fuck, of course it's negative what I just said. Like, I was like, I really hope that like Panama City doesn't get another coaster because I really have no aspiration to go back there.
Yeah, I agree.
But if Destin got something, like, I'd be excited to go there.
Yeah, and, crap, what was that going to say? Like, that whole area was just a lot nicer than I expected, and they're just, like, cool hangouts, I feel like. It would be a cool place to hang, versus Panama City, like, did absolutely nothing for me. We kind of drove up and down it last night. We drove around it, like we said, we went to go investigate the other FVCs, and none of it seemed overly classy.
It's not even like I'm asking for classy, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing classy about Pigeon Forge, but like, Pigeon Forge has like, there's like spectacle to Pigeon Forge, right?
Yeah, I would say Pigeon Forge has classed up a little bit from what I remember going in the 90s to now. Like, you have stuff like, not the lagoon, The island. The island's, like, pretty decent.
Yeah, the island's... I mean, you've got, like, the fountain show at the island. You've got all these, like, really big dinner theaters.
And you know, you got that mountain complex that's going up behind the island.
Yeah,
and, like, the dinner theaters have switched from, like, really kind of ho-dunky stuff to, like, that huge, cool-looking... I haven't seen it, but it looks really cool. Timber show. Dolly Parton's, like, timber show or whatever.
They changed that
to something. But, like, still, that's, like, yeah, a really nice big building.
Or, like,
building.
Stampede.
Yeah.
Like, Stampede's, like, that's a spectacle. That's, like, a huge arena, and there's, like, buffalo involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, or, actually, I want to go see the Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah, I always hear good things about that.
They just added this huge, like, dive pool to it.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a redneck version of O.
Nah.
So it's, like, you know, like, that kind of stuff is, like... At least it's, like, spectacle. Like, there's nothing about what's in Panama City, at least that what we saw. And I can't imagine that going to, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not or Wonderworks locations is going to bring that to us.
No. It was very run-of-the-mill. So, yeah, I mean,
A lot of like cheap kiddie rides, a lot of go-karts, but very little in terms and of
even the go-karts didn't look interesting. Whereas like in Destin and Fort Walton, you had the multi-story kind of fun spot go-karts.
There were a few good-looking kart tracks there. Like, I don't want to knock the kart tracks necessarily too much.
Well, I guess Race City had the Golden Gate Bridge go-kart track, which is cool. It, like, went over, a fake Golden Gate Bridge.
But, like, I think that, you know, usually when I go to a lot of these places, like, if I think of Pigeon Forge, like, I think of Jurassic Jungle Boat Ride.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, like, what's the equivalent of Jurassic Jungle Boat Ride? There isn't one here. Like, there is nothing like that, or the Earthquake, or in Branson... And in Pigeon Forge, like, you've got those, like, Magic Quest. There's that huge Hollywood Wax Museum complex with the mini golf and Castle of Chaos. And, you know, there's all those attractions. And, like, this doesn't really have that. Like, there's not a lot of family stuff there. I guess that would appeal to me, not that I have a family. But, you know, like, I like amusements. And there's not enough of that, in part because it's known as being a place to, like, you know, 20-year-olds drink out of beer bongs and pass out and die on the beach. So, I mean, this is also a super sad and depressed town we're driving through right now.
Yeah, a lot of, like, Amish stores. It looks weird. We're in, like, the absolute middle of nowhere. Man, there's Dollar Generals everywhere down here, I feel like.
Props to Dollar General, kind of.
Yeah.
Right? Not really.
The parking lot is full.
Yeah, it was full. I mean, it's probably, like, the only retailer. Actually, we should stop there for water and
that would
charger.
Be cheap, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. I can't believe we didn't do that. Well, there's...
Because we're busy bringing a pod to the people.
Yeah, we're telling you about the magic.
I think at this point we're rambling on about beaches. Neither of us are beach goers on the regular, so we're not experts. We don't have tons of beach credits, so, yeah.
But I'm going to say, like, if you want beaches, like... I don't know, go somewhere else, maybe, probably too. Like, it's just not.
Well, we kind of covered the Florida beaches. Gulf Shores, Alabama, what did you think of that area? I think that's a pretty.
It's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice. It's interesting. It's. Whereas. I don't, like, if I had to go on a beach vacation, we're losing people by the minute here, I'm sure. They're like, get back to coaster talk. But if I had to go on a beach vacation, taking roller coasters aside, I mean, the Gulf Shores probably obviously win because there's some coaster stuff there. But that aside, like, Destin seemed like it was a little bit more, like, Destin for a while, it seemed like it was a little bit more compact. Like, within a mile, you have tons of stuff. Gulf Shores seemed like a little bit more chill and hangout. They had a cool hangout bar. If you want to know a lot about Gulf Shores, cheap plug for the In the Loop video, Legend did. He went to, like, the zoo there where you get to, like, have a sloth climb all over you. And he showed off a bunch of, like, the crazy restaurants and bars there. So, cheap plug for that there. But yeah, I mean, like, Gulf Shores is kind of nice. Like, I think Gulf Shores is trying to, like, get a feel for, like, should we be full on, like, tourist trap? Should we be full? Because I feel like Gulf Shores is kind of, like, up and coming. Like, you can tell that like, a lot of new stuff, bars are building. It's probably the nicest overall collection of everything.
I feel like if there was a place where you would say, like, that's going to be, like, the Ocean City, Maryland or Wild New Jersey,
the upper,
this area, like, it would be that.
Yeah. Because I would say everything there, at least on the main drag there, both along the water, kind of like the tourist strip, was nice.
It looks shiny. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of development. And
I mean, I think that's where it'll be interesting to see what, I mean, OWA's grand plan is really to create this like resort destination to draw, you know, people. There's not no theme parks in this area really. So I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if like OWA kind of plays into that and, you know, what happens with Waterville. Does Waterville focus on water?
I have to imagine that they will, as I'm yawning on the podcast.
Hold on, let's see. Let me make sure we're still recording here. Yep, still recording.
Still recording.
I see the. Let me just make sure.
If we don't miss our turn off, and we're just staying on this
one. Staying on this and then take it to 10. I'm just waiting for 10 to appear.
Yeah, it's so dark and so just, like, not interesting.
That's why we are lacking interesting things to talk about. So, on that note, I think we see 10. So, I think on this note, we are
we're gonna get on the freeway
and call it. All right, so our Gulf Shores part of the trip, I think we last left you when you're rambling about the boring road up in Chalet, Pensacola, Panama City, they're all the same. Now, where are we now?
We're leaving basically I-Drive, and we're heading back towards the airport.
That's right, because we got into O-Town a little bit early. We got
everything.
Yeah, we were driving past. I was like, hey man, White Lightning's right there. I'm like, I kind of gotta go to the we tried to go to the Mexican place. That didn't work. They were closed. And I was like, man, I really needed to go to the bathroom. I'm like, Fun Spot's right there. Do you mind if I run over there, go to the bathroom, and get a ride on White Lightning? And you're like, hell yeah.
They're like, I need to do the same thing. So it worked out. It
worked out well. And man, White Lightning's still
super good.
So good. So much airtime. And
so fun, smooth.
Yeah, let's talk about like how smooth it is. And it's what, like 4 or 5 years old now?
Yeah, it's
and it's
perfect.
Really good.
It's like it's brand new.
Speaking of smoothness, then we went to go ride Mind Blower.
Yeah, that's not smooth.
Yeah, you were like, oh man, we're going to roll into Orlando, we're going to get a wristband, we're just going to ride Mind Blower all day. I was like, ah, oh, you can't, I'll get one. You're like, oh, should I not? I was like, get two, you got to do front and back. So we get over there.
One of the things I said, I was like, you're making me believe like something is wrong here, and he's like, you might have good reason to believe that. By the way, look over there, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, are you serious about this? Like, is that bad? And yeah, so we rode it.
The first drop, insane. Like, it just bucks you out of your seat. The barrel roll's good, and then the rest of it, it feels like the chairs were made out of cardboard, so they just vibrate like crazy. It's not like rough, like kind of like Cannonball Run yesterday, where it kind of like throws you back and forth, shuffles. This just feels like the cars are made out of flimsy plastic and just soak up every ounce of vibration on that track.
Yeah, it's the tracking looks like, even looks bad. Like when you look at the track, it just looks like all out of place and like,
yeah, we were
like, poorly put together.
Yeah, we were looking like afterwards at some of the track, nerding out, and we're like, the two by eights or whatever those come together, it's starting to like bow out and they're sticking out a couple inches. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I'm not an engineer. Maybe that's perfectly normal, but it just is like, ah, man, it just rode really bad. So we had a really bad ride. I was like, no, you went and did it again. Sole person on the ride. And, you still didn't care for it.
I mean, it's like, it's not bad. Like, okay. So it is kind of bad. Like the ride itself, like the layout's pretty good. It doesn't hurt yet.
Layout's fantastic.
Like honestly, like, you can ride it a couple times, but then after two rides, especially, like, when I went up front, I was just like, this thing is vibrating, and it's just not a comfortable ride. It's not it's not a session ride.
No, you get, and it's just, the airtime's fantastic on it. It's like, man, they could just smooth, if that was, like, White Lightning and smooth, like, that'd be, like,
yeah,
a top
killer.
10 wooden roller coaster, probably, just how crazy it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a super good ride underneath, like, a bad, mediocre one. Like, it's not the worst, but it's not the best.
Yeah, and then we were like, all right, you know, it's like, we don't really got time to do anything else. If we try to go to, like, a bar or something, by the time we, like, you know, we had, like, 3-4 hours before the airport, so... you've been hemming and hawing about SeaWorld all day, and you're like, just take me that way. And then, like, when we got closer, you're like, just pull in. Let me think about it. And then we get in. We were going to get in line for tickets and be like, oh, do you got any discounts on, like, annual passes? And next thing you know, like, I just bought a ticket. Let's not wait in this line. Let's just go in and ride this.
Yeah, and I got, like, five rides.
Five rides on Mako's.
Like, 40 minutes.
But I think we need to have intervention right now.
Yeah,
so,
I think we need to make a phone
so
call.
So we need to. So Mako is really, really good. While you're dialing up some digits here, would you not agree Mako's probably the best coaster in Florida?
Best coaster in Florida, hands
easily,
down.
Easily.
No question about it.
Easily. So, you gotta put that thing on speakerphone.
Yeah, I did.
All right. I don't even hear a ring. We're calling
it still,
up.
It still says a dialing.
Oh, man. So I'm trying
to give it a second.
He'll probably edit this out anyways.
Yeah, it probably will. But anyways, so Mako's really, really good.
Yeah, well, we rode it in the back. Mako is a front, like, it's a good ride all over.
Yeah.
Back gets you the nice B&M floater. Front gets you borderline, like, ejector airtime, kind of like Goliath that over Georgia a little bit. Would you agree? Like,
yeah, I agree.
Front's definitely better.
Front's definitely better. Like, the airtime, like, the way those hills are set up is just ridiculous. Like, the arch on them, like, the profile of those hills, like, you look at them and you're like, this is not a standard B&M hill. Like, this thing is gnarly. This thing wants to buck you. Like, there's no question about it. It wants to buck you. It wants to send you, like, somewhere that you are not, like into the air, like hurtling through the air, like through time and space itself. And yeah, that ride's awesome, man. Like, I just, we rode it and I had a huge smile on my face.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I mean, like you said, the one downside to it is once you hit the kind of mid course, which is more like three quarters course, on the ride, it trims you a little bit, and that kind of just noodles around towards the end. I mean, it's definitely for show. It goes right over the midway there, but it's not. I think that's what would keep it from like overtaking Goliath at the top of my BM, because Goliath at over Georgia, you're just going airtime. You just fly into that brake run, getting thrown out of your seat, and you don't quite get that here. So,
yeah, we're waiting. My phone is giving me issues today, which is irritating. Because we want to make a phone call here.
Right, make a phone call here.
Maybe we'll pause this for a minute.
Yeah, let's
come back. Yo, can you hear us?
Yeah, what's going on?
You got to turn up a little bit.
This is as high as it goes right now. All right.
So, hey, Joe, it's Hyde. You're on your own podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
We barely hear you.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, so anyways, the deal is this. This is an intervention call.
Yeah, we're intervening with you, buddy.
When do you get to Universal? Like, what time of day do you get to Universal?
I get in late
at night on Wednesday. So you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. How much in Sunday?
All of Sunday and a good chunk of Monday.
Okay, so...
We're getting you to SeaWorld, buddy.
Yeah, you're going to SeaWorld.
Okay.
Because Alan over here just dropped some big cash, like baller money. I don't want to know how he got that cash. I didn't ask. But baller over here just dropped to go ride Maker like six times. And he's like, this is ridiculous. Joe's going to be down the street and he won't touch this thing. This is, we both agree it'd be in your top five if you rode it.
I'm not saying I don't want to go. It's just that I've never been before because of, I was traveling with my parents.
Well, you're not traveling with your parents, so yeah, now you can go.
I know.
So it's...
I'm not doing War Nights on Saturday. I'm thinking about going maybe Saturday.
Perfect. Dude, I'm here on a Sunday, and Mako had a five-minute line.
Not even.
It was like walk-on, actually. So it's perfect. It's perfect for you.
I'll get in touch with you. I can try to get you some discounted tickets.
Yeah, we're going to try to make something happen for you. But we just need to talk to you real quick.
We wanted to finish the podcast with having an intervention with you to tell you that you
have to go see World.
Yeah. None of you can probably see it from your hotel in Cabana Bay. So get out of the Lazy River for 10 minutes and go ride the best coaster in Orlando.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
We barely can hear you, so we're gonna let you go. We're at the airport. We gotta send this boy back up to Detroit.
Yeah, I'll see you later, man.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. I could even hear him, probably not, but whatever. You know, we tried. We gave it a whirl. I saw some waves moving around, but it may just be road noise. But sure, Joe's on the phone, and he's probably really confused right now.
He sounded really confused.
He was not sure what was going on, and that's okay.
I'm confused too. Why? buddy, you come down here a lot. Get yourself Busch Gardens or SeaWorld.
Yeah, it's time.
We're going to make that happen for you.
So when we get to this airport, I got to throw a bunch of stuff in my bags and then stand around for a while. But that's okay.
No, you got lounge access. You're going to go get some adult beverages.
Yeah, that's true. It's time to go get drunk at Chili's, as is usually the case.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, I guess this concludes the Florida trip. 38 hours probably.
Andrew's good to travel with.
Yeah.
I'm decent to travel with. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm in my own skin, so I just, I ride
with. We made it happen. We got everything done.
There's no affirmative or negative in that. But
he almost got us on the SPF visa, too.
Yeah, that's true. I should just run it. But anyways, hopefully you enjoy the podcast whenever they come out. And
then there'll be a corresponding YouTube video on the In the Loop channel. It's a shameless plug for them. Go subscribe and watch the video. So we're going to make sure that the video is out on the In the Loop channel when this podcast drops. So if you're listening, head over to In the Loop and you can see some of the crazy crazy parks and stuff we've been talking about.
Yes.
So we're going to end it there. We're pulling up to the terminal. So see ya.
Yeah, shout out. Peace.